happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
To save his life, call his wife,
and hey,
nothing to say 403, day.
How's your boy been? Well, if your boy is Anthony Volpe, he's been good. Because now he's my boy, as Anthony Volpe has himself a day. This is the Volpe game. There is no question about it. Last night, Yankees take down the Dodgers 11-4, get back into the series, still down 3-1. No one has any misconceptions of this thing already getting turned around. It's one game. They have a lot more work to do. But Anthony Volpe in this game comes through with the big hit that just feels like it changes everything. They were in desperate need of this. And I know they got some in Cleveland. You know, Stanton hit a bunch of bombs and obviously the Soto home run that sent them to the World Series and even Judge off Class A. And, you know, but it wasn't like from anybody else, and it wasn't from the in the middle of the game to break it open and give you some relief in the middle of the game. Like, it was always these theatrical ones that either tie the game or maybe, you know, give you the lead late and then you'd wrap it up. But, like, just that clutch hit, bases loaded, middle of the game with an opportunity to give you some breathing room and make you feel like you might have a win in your back pocket. And they finally got it, and it's from one of the more unlikely sources, at least maybe not a hit, but a grand slam. Yeah, that pretty much shocked me after the Yankees load the bases and with one out and Rizzo pops up in front of Anthony Volpe. I thought that's it. That has been a spot this entire postseason where we're like, I can't believe they stranded the bases loaded again. Like, I thought for sure, and instead he gets a low slider and deposits it into the left field bleachers for the big hit. And not only that, he's got a double, two stolen bases, two good defensive plays, scores from third on a ground ball, hit directly to a drawn infielder at second base, and Gavin Lux. Like, he just had an incredible game. After making an awful, boneheaded blunder on the base path earlier in the game, where, you know, with one out, he tries to tag up on a deep fly ball that ends up going off the wall. And on a double, Anthony Volpe, all his speed, even Stanton could have scored on that one. Doesn't score from second on a double off the wall from Wells, who also turned it around and hit a home run. There's a lot of different guys we can get to in this game. But for me, it's Anthony Volpe, that big hit, responding after the boneheaded play on the base paths, and having himself a day and carrying this Yankee team to a, obviously, much-needed win as their season is on the brink and still is. And obviously, not just him, but the entire team and the way they responded to this game. Again, especially after Freddie Freeman hits another two-run home run in the first inning and they fall behind after Luis Gil, who I thought had some decent stuff in this game, gives up a slider for a two-run bomb right down the right field line into the short porch from Freddie Freeman, who now has a home run in every stinking game of this series. And he's absolutely killed the Yankees. In fact, he's really the only one who has. Otani gets his second hit of the series. He got struck out by Mark Leiter in this game. He's really struggling and swinging at stuff. But anyway, for this team to rally and say, not tonight, bounce back, even after falling behind 2-0 and not letting that kind of kill them like it did the night before, to bounce back, score all these runs, score 11, have a little bit of a laugher by the end. Then Gleyber Torres hits a three-run home run. That's important just because he helped Weaver sit down and not have to throw a third inning. So Weaver should be available for this game tonight. Just an all-around impressive game and just one of those wins where it just makes you feel a little bit better about your team that they didn't roll over and die. And we talked about how many times when a series gets to 3-0 in the World Series, it's an overwhelming number of them that end in 4. And only a few that end in 5. And I don't believe any have ended in 6. But the Yankees get off the deck. They rally back. They get the big hit from Anthony Volpe. They get a big hit from Torres. They get an RBI single from Aaron Judge. The offense awakens. The bullpen does its job. And they have forced a Game 5 later tonight. And that's really, now I want to focus on that, because this is without question, as much as yesterday might have been the Volpe game, tonight will be, one way or another, the Gerrit Cole game. Because all of the pressure that has been so much weighing on all of the hitters in this series. Like, the offense is without question. The bats are getting tight. They're not coming through. And while, the runners in scoring position numbers and Judge striking out, so much pressure on him, so much pressure on this offense to come through, and they've been miserable in this series, and they haven't, every time they lose, it's because of the offense, and they've heard all of this. And there's been a ton of pressure on this offense. That's why that grand slam from Volpe is so important, to relieve some of that pressure, just to get that feeling of like, all right, maybe we could breathe a little bit. We got a 3-run lead here. Like, they needed that desperately. But considering all the pressure on the offense and Judge, it might loosen up just a little bit off of this performance, and it falls squarely on the starting pitcher of this game. Because despite some of the other pitchers failing, starting-wise at least, and Cole being the one pitcher who's given them a great start, everything around the conversation with Gerrit Cole right now, first off, just what he's been brought here to do, right? He was stolen away from the Houston Astros to be the difference between those two teams. And yet they've reached the World Series, yet they've won a championship, and the Yankees haven't been here yet. He makes $324 million to be the guy on the mound when they need him most. And in game one, whether it's his fault or not, and that seems to be a con, he should have, punted Aaron Boone away. He should have just jump kicked him and said, get the hell off my mound, apparently. He didn't fight it off. Aaron Boone comes out, takes him out in the seventh inning of only throwing 88 pitches. We've talked about it forever. And then obviously now the conversation of, oh, well, listen, I can pitch whenever I want, or whenever the team needs me. We didn't even have a discussion about going on short rest in game four. Boone's talking, well, it's not really the same. He's all the things his elbow has been through this year. We don't feel he's capable of doing this. Cole telling you, I can pitch whenever. Like, all of the different stuff around this team. Tonight, game five, this ace who was brought here to win this game, and this manager who has to understand that, they need Cole to be his vintage self, and they need him to go deep into this game and see if they can get it to just Weaver, or see if they can only need Canely and Weaver, Weaver and one other reliever. This is not a game to come out in a fifth inning and ask four innings of outs out of your bullpen. That is not the game tonight. He came out after 88 pitches last night. He needs to go deep, he needs to be effective, and he needs to secure a plane trip back to Los Angeles and really put some fear into this team and some real momentum into the Yankees to possibly accomplish the impossible. It starts with Cole. This is an enormous start. This is the biggest start of his career. This is the game he was brought here to win. Plain and simple. And I know everybody's saying it. It's because it's true. He was brought here and paid well to win this game. And he's had opportunities. And he was brought here to win the game in Boston on the wild card. Failed. He was brought here to win game four against the Royals earlier in this postseason to make sure you don't have to go to game five and Reagan's waiting for you in game five at Yankee Stadium. Mission accomplished. Cleveland last year, mission accomplished. Houston 2 years ago. Mission failed at home. He's had opportunities. There's been a lot of good ones. There's been some bad ones. 2020, he pitched well against Tampa. Like, he has been their guy. And I know his elbow had issues this year. I know he missed a bunch of time this year. But he says he's healthy. He says he's strong. There's not a lot of innings on that elbow this year. He should be at full strength. He should be in midseason form. And the Yankees need him to go out and pitch. Yes, they need him effective. Yes, they need as many zeros as they can give him. They need him to go deep into this game. This will be the Gerrit Cole game one way or another. And with all the nonsense around it, there's pressure more on him than even Aaron Judge. There is less pressure, right, in my mind at least. I know that continues, right? But they did just score 11. He got a hit. He was on base four times. I know one was an error, but like he was on base three clean times, hit by pitch, walk, single. They just scored 11 runs. They opened it up a little bit. Like, there's probably just a skosh of pressure relieved off this offense in this game. Just a little bit. Hopefully a lot, and they play better, but just a little bit of like, okay, we finally came through. More than that, they won the game. More than that, they scored 11 runs. They came through. They were needed. The team was down. Luis Gil gave up the two-run bomb to Freddie Freeman. They needed to come back into this game, and they did. All of the pressure to win this Game 5, all of the pressure to get this back to L.A. and at Game 6, all of the pressure falls on the shoulders of the $300 million starting pitcher who has to go into this game like a bulldog. And whether it's perception or reality, you know, I don't deal in body language, and I don't know what someone should have done or shouldn't have done. The manager came out to take him out. You want him to scream in the manager's face and embarrass him and tell him to get back into the dugout? Okay, I hear your point, but I can't kill him for that. I can say all day long he should have. I can't kill him for it. Should he have kicked down the Boone's door and say, I'm starting game four on short rest, I don't care what you say? You could argue he could have. I can't get on him for not. He's going to pitch when he's going to pitch. And tonight, they're in better shape because he didn't pitch yesterday. They got the win with Hill. They got the win in the bullpen game. They're going to face Flaherty, who has not been able to put back-to-back performances together in this postseason, and they got their stud on the mound. Find a way back, because I'll tell you, the difference between getting swept and just folding and fading off into the offseason as Freddie Freeman pounds home runs to send you there. The difference between that and winning these last two games at Yankee Stadium and forcing a Game 6 and not allowing this year to end in your building, not allowing the champagne and the team photo and all the nonsense to happen at Yankee Stadium, just that alone. I'm not a participation trophy kind of guy, but the difference I'll feel about the team. They won't be champions. They don't deserve parades or acknowledgments or even an extra banner for it. But just how I feel about them, how I feel about this group, will change immensely if they show me the fight they showed me last night. I need them to get it to L.A. because then it becomes tangible. Then it becomes a possibility. Then it becomes real. Right now, it's still not real. Right now, last night was a fun night. You got home runs from Volpe and Wells in the future. He comes through with the big hit. The ballpark was rocking. The Grand Slam was fun. They threw out nobodies and you know, Honeywell and Knack and all the bullpen and kind of gave up on the game. So it's not even like you beat their best pitchers. It was just a fun night, a night where they did respond, a night where they scored some runs, a night where the fans were stupid, but ultimately just a game. And there's really no fear yet with the Los Angeles Dodgers. There's really no, oh boy, they win tonight. That starts to emerge. That starts to happen. There will be players on that team who will feel it. And they need their $300 million man to get them to that point. Aaron Boone, you know I defend you at every single turn. I have no idea why Leiter's in this game last night, but I defend this guy at every turn. He has got to recognize that this is his night. This is Cole's night. Now look, if he gives up three runs in the first three innings, and he gets the first two guys on in the fourth, then it's an elimination game. You can't just ride with Cole if he's not good. But if he's given up one run, two runs, and he finishes the sixth with 94 pitches, send him back out for the seventh. Tonight is Cole's night. Tonight is your night, bro. Tonight is Cole's night, bro. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. EJ in Allentown. What's up, EJ?
Chris, how are you, man?
I'm doing much better than yesterday.
I'm sure you are, man. Yes. I'm sure you are. A couple of things, though. Let's tell your callers to let's not try to compare this as one of the greatest things ever till they at least get back to Los Angeles.
I understand that. I agree. You know? I agree. But listen, sometimes you have to just
you can dream, right? You're dreaming.
Yeah, I have to do that for the people. But I agree. Like I have to entertain their ideas. But you're right. It's not even worth discussing until they get back to LA. And even that might not be enough with Carlos Rodon starting six.
No, I agree. In my opinion, you got to get to a game seven before you want to dream about that one at a time. Anyway, early on, you had a caller who absurdly tried to justify those two morons down the right field line in the first inning. Those idiots that probably spent thousands of dollars on tickets to see a half an inning of baseball.
Yep.
Man, what a bad display for New York those two dudes put on last night. It was embarrassing.
I agree with you. It is embarrassing. Now, look, I'm in the ballpark. We didn't recognize it. We didn't know. I'm sure everyone checked their phones and then found out. But, like, in the moment, it just looked like he went into the crowd. That's fair game. That's what everyone was saying. Hey, it was fair game in the crowd. That's fair game. Like, we didn't know. And then he's obviously in there too long and everything. So we're like, what's going on? But, yes, I totally agree with you. I know people want to have fun with it because we've never seen it before. I saw a bunch of guys on Barstool saying, if you can't just laugh at that, you're an idiot or whatever. Like, I'm sorry. I didn't laugh at it. And those two guys are idiots. It's a terrible look for the fan base. I'm totally with you. Because God forbid, like, can you imagine if Mookie Betts got hurt? Like, I'm sorry. If Juan Soto goes into the crowd at Dodger Stadium and they grab onto his glove and try to rip the ball out while he's trying to get it back, he sprains his wrist or, worse. I'll be like, honey, I'm sorry. I got to go to L.A. I'm driving. Where do you keep the brass knuckles? Like, I'm ready to go. Like, you cannot. I'm sorry. It's embarrassing. It is embarrassing. You can't do it. You can't do it. And he should never go back to Yankee Stadium ever again. And I wouldn't be surprised if Major League Baseball banned him from every Major League Baseball stadium in the country and in Canada. Like, honestly, that's it. You can't do that. And there seems to be, and now the guys didn't really, like you mentioned a caller who defended them. The caller really didn't defend them so much as, he didn't defend them so much as more he defended the idea that it's fair game in the stands, which we all say it's up for grabs in the stands. Yeah, it's up for grabs for you to try and catch the ball. Like, you don't have to get out of their way to let them catch it. But you can't put your hands on a player. You have every right. You have the same right he does to the ball. That's what up for grabs means. It means if you can go get the ball, it's in the stands, and you can go get it, go get it. But, like, even if it was just as simple as, like, knocking his arm out of the way at the last second, like, you can't hit the player. You can't grab their arm. You can't hold it down. Oh, he's in the stand, so I could just, wrap his arm up so he can't reach for the ball. No. And you can't try and rip the ball out of his glove. You can try and catch the ball, and if they get in the way of that, or you guys lean into each other, or you, while you're trying to catch the ball, you make it impossible for him to get his glove to the ball, that's fair game. But you cannot put your hands on the player, and you can't rip the ball out of his glove, and I'm telling you, thank God Mookie Betts is okay. Because if it were the other way around, we would be losing it as Yankee fans. Losing it. And rightfully so. Dummies. Now, he'll probably, I saw Dave Portnoy tweeting about it. I'm sure he'll get a job at Barstool now. I have no doubt. He'll be the I ripped the glove out of Mookie Betts' hand guy, and then he'll do some sort of podcast where he talks about gloves and the feel of leather. Whatever it is. I don't know. He'll do something. And I don't begrudge him. If they want to give him a podcast or bring him in, or he gets a job out of this, fine, but he should never go to a ballpark again. 888-808-1019. Don't begrudge anybody money. In fact, that's not a bad podcast. I try and buy a new baseball glove every year for a baseball season and break it in. I have a couple. I love baseball gloves. Maybe I'll do a podcast on baseball gloves. I'm in. I think Recco once said he wants to do a baseball podcast with me. I'm in, Jerry. Let's go. Mac and Jerry. Jerry, only because Jerry and Mac doesn't sound as good. It's clearly got to be Mac and Jerry. Same thing with Mac and Mons. He had to deal with it. So will you in time. It's okay. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you. Quick break. More of your phone calls as we take you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show on this, the day of reckoning. The last game of 2024 in the Bronx. The last game of Juan Soto in the pinstripes. The last game of John Sterling calling a Yankee game in Yankee Stadium. Is it the last game ever or just the last game at Yankee Stadium? Is it the last game of Juan Soto's Yankee career? Or do we fight, move on, and have their ace starting pitcher lead them back to Los Angeles?
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
And thankfully, we have at least one more Yankee game because, we all know our two football teams are donezo. And, I mean, Thursday night, obviously there won't be a Yankee game, but the Jets, Texans, Thursday night, I mean, for what purpose? I'm not even sure. I mean, it's just amazing what happened to these two football teams. It really is. Not that I'm all that surprised with what's gone on with the Giants necessarily, but, I mean, it's with the Jets, it's different because I don't know, until I know what Aaron Rodgers is doing. Until I know what Aaron Rodgers is doing, it's impossible to come up with a plan for the future. There is no real plan for the future. There's run it back and hope it works. Like, I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do. They are in a just unbelievably bad spot. Right. You can't have this kind of season off of the decisions they make because they've hemorrhaged and mortgaged themselves for this point in time. And for the season to already be over that's as devastating as it can get to a franchise who went out and made all these moves. Aaron Rodgers, all the different things that happened last year, let alone just this year. Backup quarterback, trade for Hassan Reddick, bring in Davante Adams. Stick with the kicker. I don't know where they go. At least I know where the Giants should go, and there's no doubt it needs to be done now. There is enough with this quarterback situation. Just end it. Just end it. Stop playing him. Tommy DeVito and his agent were at Yankee Stadium last night. Put him in. Either him or the agent. I don't give a damn. Because I went back and watched a lot of this game earlier today, Daniel Jones is awful. And at the end of the game, when the coach starts throwing him under the bus, just because, one, and especially now that he's been given, a vote of confidence, it goes one of two ways when you get the vote of confidence, right? You get the vote of confidence, and suddenly it's like you would figure you would either do something and take all the blame and not put it at your quarterback's feet because why would I? I'm good. I know I'm good. The owner's pretty much said I'm coming back. Let's take some pressure off my quarterback, and I'll own, this play call. Yeah, I should have seen Watt on the edge or whatever the case may be. Or you are so secure in your job that finally you are ready to do something that the owner, we know how much he cares about the quarterback, but finally feels a little bit free to say, you know what? Yeah, we called a play to move protection to help us with Watt on the edge. Daniel didn't do it. Finally. Because these Daniel Jones lovers who want to talk about it, he doesn't help the offensive line. This is not the first time he's made such a mistake. He doesn't help an offensive line. There are quarterbacks who recognize this stuff. And I used to think that was Aaron Rodgers. Now I don't know. But there are quarterbacks who help the offensive line, who help their team get better, who bring along young wide receivers, who help a tight end in Ingram who can't catch. Like, you know, then he goes to Jacksonville, and you can't tell me Lawrence is any better, and he's exploded in Jacksonville. There are quarterbacks who take a third round pick wide receiver in Hyatt and figure out a way to incorporate him in the offense. There are quarterbacks who do these things. Daniel Jones is not one of them. It's time to move on. The season's dead. End it the proper way. It's just disgusting. And that's why, thankfully, we, and listen, we're going to roll right into an offseason with Juan Soto where everybody's going to be all over getting Juan Soto to their team. The Met fans are practically living on it right now. The Met fans are living on two things right now. They're living on the idea that Juan Soto is going to be a Met next year, and they're living on the idea that they put forth a better series against the Dodgers than the Yankees did. Those are the two things that keep them. That's the oatmeal for breakfast that sticks to your ribs all day. That's what the Met fan wakes up, looks himself in the mirror, and goes, at least we went six. That's kind of the rallying cry of every Met fan right now. Get up, brush your teeth, look in the mirror. My name is John, and I'm a Met fan, and at least we went six. That's what they say every day before they leave for work or school. And Juan Soto will be a Yankee. Wait, hold on. Did you remember to pack your lunch? Yeah, I did. Did you remember to lock the back door? Yeah. Did you take that out of the freezer to the frost? Yeah, I did, honey. Did you send your tweet with Juan Soto in a Met uniform? No, I forgot that one. Let me do that real quick. Hold on. That's how the Mets are living right now. One win away from at least we went six argument to go away. Maury in Belmore. What's up, Maury? Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight, you know what? I saw two handsome fellas at the game last night. Wow, you're looking good, kid. Looking good.
Oh, that is great. I don't know who's the other one.
Sean,
you're going to make me.
Sean needs some help. Anyway,
so it's me, listen, and BT.
Two handsome fellas, but yeah. How did that feel when Volpe hit that home run being in there? The electric, right? Incredible.
Yeah, the grand slam from Volpe was incredible. It was. It was an incredible moment. I didn't see it coming at all. Like, you could have knocked me over with a feather. Base hit up the middle? Okay. Base hit up the middle. I could see that.
No one expected.
You know, a line drive, base hit right in an outfielder, and the runner second gets thrown out at home? Yeah, I definitely could have seen that. But a grand slam after the Rizzo pop-up, I did not see it coming. That was because of that shock, because it was Volpe, because you just avoided the out that could have gotten you the run. You were hoping for a sac fly. You get the pop-up, and I sat back in my chair for a minute, and I'm like, they're not going to do anything. Like, I was convinced they weren't going to come through. And then that ball leaves that bat on that line drive trajectory. I wasn't sure it was getting out when it hit those stands. Me, Sean, and the other good-looking fella, BT, we were just all over each other, man. Couldn't keep our hands off each other.
What do you do to Freeman? How do you stop this guy? Number one, number two.
I don't know. Listen, at any point where it makes sense, you got to walk him. And thank you for the call. At any point where you could even have a discussion about walking him, then you do it. Like, if it's not putting on the tying run, if it's not with, you know, two outs and a lead, like, I don't know. It would have to be a perfect set of circumstances because this guy is killing them. Again, think about it. Who's killing them? They have played four games in this series. The Dodgers have won all four. Who is beating the Yankees right now? The pitching, clearly. But offensively, it's Freeman. That's it. Like, there have been moments here or there. Edmund hit a home run, you know. Mookie got the bloop hit that scored a run. But Ohtani's got two hits in the series. Other than that bloop single, I can't think of much off the top of my head that Mookie did other than play excellent defense. Teoscar Hernandez hits one home run in the series, and they scored three runs in that inning and didn't score again. Like, there is one guy killing them. The hitting a home run as a walk-off is obviously a killer, and then specifically these last two home runs at the start of the game, like, those are killer home runs. Killer. Killer. To fall behind 2-0, that's part of the real, like, joy I have about the win is the resiliency in the comeback. Josh in Westchester. What's up, Josh?
Hi, Chris.
Hey.
I just think Labor's planted these guys all over the ballpark. You know, the same thing happened in L.A. He was the batter. And I know if I was standing there, I would have caught it. Their bets wouldn't have caught that baseball.
Yeah, that's different. You're entitled to go after it as hard as you can. You just can't physically, you know, hit the play. You could, while you're running for the ball or leaning for the ball, if you touch him, that's fine. But you can't blatantly grab his glove and try and rip it off.
No, you can't. You can't LT him. That's for sure. I mean, he looked like he was going to peel the baseball out and
yeah,
start.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it was too crazy for me. But listen, this stuff happens in baseball games. You're in no man's territory there when it's in foul territory in the field, and the players are going in the crowd. His glove was in the crowd, so but you can't, you know, you can't LT the guy. That's the bottom line there.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, that's like four hits, $1 billion for four hits between Judge and Ohtani.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Now, they were the face of this World Series, and they've both done nothing.
No, absolutely. But that happens in World Series.
Of course.
You know, because baseball is different than every other sport because, you know, you can't always go to your best player. The other big sports, you can go to your best player offensively. You got to wait nine batters to get to Joe D or Mickey Mantle.
Right.
So the big heroes could be the unsung guys. I mean, let's face it. Freeman's coming as the babe. He's hitting home runs in every game. It's just one of those things. If you get lucky and you get hot in these games. But the thing is, I really, you know what, Chris? I just hope that when this thing is over and the election is over, everybody wishes Pat Buchanan a happy birthday next week.
I'll give him that one. That was good. I gotta check when Pat Buchanan's birthday is. I will definitely say a happy birthday to Pat Buchanan. That is funny. But yeah, listen, they gotta get hot. It's gotta carry over into this game, and the ace has to be the ace. Plain and simple. This is a cold game. At the beginning of the series, I talked about the biggest disparity between the two groups, and I still feel this way. Despite the fact everybody thinks that the Dodgers have just outclassed the Yankees. They've outclassed them. They've outclassed them. It's clear as day. I don't know if I agree with that. They've won these games and they've outplayed them for sure. And are they the better team? Yeah, I mean, you could definitely say that. But I said the same thing about the Mets too. I thought the Mets were a good matchup for them too, heading into the series. And maybe I have anti-Dodger in me. I don't know why, but maybe I do because I thought that I think you could have said the Mets were just as good, and I definitely think you could say the Yankees are just as good, but haven't played so far like that. But despite it being like, you know, these close, everyone's saying that it's these blowouts, it's not. And they're right there with them. And the biggest, to me, it's the bottom of the, for the Dodgers, it was the bottom of the Dodger lineup. And for the Yankees, it was the starting pitching. And one has come true. The Dodger bottom of the lineup has been far better. You know, excluding last night, I guess, you know, Volpe had a big home run. But the Dodger lineup, the bottom has been much better. And for the Yankees, the starting pitching has been worse than the Dodgers. That's why they are where they are, in my opinion. And, of course, the biggest overarching thing is Judge sucks. I mean, the Yankees aren't going to win if Judge sucks. So those are the three reasons why it's 3-1, is that the biggest strength of the New York Yankees, the starting pitching, has not been the biggest strength, and the Dodgers have done better. And the bottom of the order, the biggest strength compared to the Yankees for the Dodgers, has been still better. And Judge sucks. You mix all that into a bowl, you get 3-1. But they still have an opportunity because I picked the Yankees to win and I picked Cole to be the MVP of the series because I believe his ability to get deep into the games is an advantage that the other pitchers don't have unless you give up one hit and then Yamamoto can go deep into a game. But Cole's got to be on the mound tonight. This is a huge start for Gerrit Cole. Huge. John in Brooklyn. What's up, John?
Hey. Oh, I'm sorry. My voice is shot.
That's okay.
Better yours than mine, right? I'm so happy the Yankees won just because I want to see more baseball.
You know, I'm not kidding. That's what I said. I said that to my wife today. I love this. I love this. I love the pressure of it. I love the tenseness of it. If you see And thank you for the call, John. I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm up against the break. If you see my face in the picture Mirage put out, I am, when Leiter is pitching to Ohtani, I can't breathe. I'm not kidding. I want to run. It's so hard for me. It's so much easier for me to watch the games at home where I could pace. Just standing there in Yankee Stadium with, like, in a packed Yankee Stadium, shoulder to shoulder with BT and Mirage, I want to just, like, I don't know what I want to do, but I can't. It's very hard for me to just stand there. So I'm pulling my hood over my face. I'm pulling down the strings tight. Like, it's very difficult to not go for a walk, because that's what I do and I need to do it. And I literally said to my wife today, and she was like, well, yesterday I came home, actually, it was quite cute. My little guy, 5 years old, Andrew, woke up when I got home. And he's like, Daddy, did the Yankees win? And I said, no, sorry, Andrew, they lost. Okay, so now they just have to win 4 in a row, right? No problem. And I was like, yeah, no problem, Andrew. No problem. Hopefully he turns out to be right from the voice of Babes. But today I said to my wife, it's totally true. I love this stuff, and I just want as many games as possible. There's nothing worse than losing the wild card game back when it was the wild card game, or losing the wild card round, or losing in the DS, because you play 162 and then you get like 3 playoff games. You're like, this sucks. I want as many games as possible. I want as many games as possible. I love watching these games. I love getting up for these games. I love waking up knowing we have a game tonight. Like, I'm pumped right now for game 5. This is a big game. World Series, Cole on the mound, I'm pumped for this. I can't wait. I hope they win this one. Almost more than any other reason is I couldn't wait for game 6. Like, that's it. It's about winning the championship, yes, but I love the game. I love watching the team play. Like, give us more playoff games, baby. Every time they win a game, it was always like, well, guaranteed this many more. Guaranteed 4 more games. Guaranteed 4 more games. I want as many games as possible. 888-808-1019. Unless they win them all, I'm fine with that. You want to just have a quick 4-game World Series next time? That's cool.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
David Wells has pitched a perfect game. 27 up, 27 down. Baseball immortality for David Wells. And the Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
So if the Yankees win in game 4, getting ready for game 5, it does beg the question of when do you really start to think that this is something that could happen? Because right now, let's be fair, it's not. As excited as I was, all this did was stand up and not roll over for the Dodgers. They stood up, they fought, the offense woke up a little bit. Big win, no doubt. Volpe, the whole nine. But when does it become real for the Dodgers? And me and Sean were talking about it at the game. I think for me, it's they not just winning. This is what I would say. Not just winning this game, because I still think even if they win this game, going back to LA, they're going to feel good. Yamamoto on the mound at home. They've won both games at home. It would have to either be game 6 if the Yankees take a lead, or if it's still tied when Yamamoto leaves. That's what I would say. Then it becomes, or, you know, if the Yankees jump out to a 2-run, 3-run lead in the first 3 innings of game 6, now it's real. The minute that happens, it's real. Something would have to go wrong in game 6. The first big mistake, the first big game-changing break kind of play, whatever the case, once there's like a clear cut, the momentum is in the Yankee side of a game 6, then it becomes real. But you got to win game 5 first. Justin in Floral Park. What's up, Justin?
What's going on, Chris? How are you,
What's
buddy?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Like the great Boomer says, one pitch, one inning. That's all we got to worry about.
Get one pitch, one at bat, one inning, one game at a time. Yeah.
Just get this game and put a little pressure on them.
No doubt.
I honestly think they win tonight. They're going to feel it a little bit. Because you got to remember, Yamamoto, if he pitches game 6, he's only going to pitch 70, 75 pitches. And now we're going to start getting into that bullpen, more familiarity with them.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Now, they did a good job with staying away. I mean, or a good job or a bad job. It's rapid fire style, buddy. I don't know if, I mean, they did a good job of avoiding the top arms, but at the same time, this game is a one-run lead, and they stuck with some guys who aren't very good, or at least not good enough to get out the Yankees. So, I mean, in one way, yeah, sure, it helped them up, but theoretically, you could have ended this and stopped the Yankee momentum, and now there definitely is some. There's some Yankee momentum here. You got to win this game, though. It starts with Cole. Again, can we get past the first inning without a two-run home run? That, how about step one? Give me a zero in the first inning for Cole. But there's a couple things he has to do. I don't think he has to pitch a shutout. That's a very difficult ask. He's got to pitch a shutout in the first inning. He's got to get through Ohtani, Freeman, and Betts in the first inning without scoring a run, so the offense has a chance to show up in a tie game at the bottom of the first. That's check number one. Then he's got to go at least into the seventh inning. At least. Get me one out in the seventh, minimum. Six and a third, minimum. I want more than that, but that's minimum. And if he gets a lead, he can't relinquish it. Those are the three things that have to happen for Gerrit Cole. Give me a zero. Get me to the seventh. Don't give up a lead. If they give you a lead, you have to hold on to it. That's what they need from their ace tonight. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Tonight isn't your night, Maury. Chris, I see everybody giving a pass to Daboll and Shane, but you watch every game. The Washington game, no kicker. The Cowboy game, they had the worst defense, the run defense in the league at the time.
Yeah.
We rushed for 26 yards, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, against the Steelers, I know you didn't really watch. You probably watched the highlights. I watched the whole game.
Yep.
I mean, Daboll made some bad decisions. The left tackle was off the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, right? Evan Neal was on the sideline.
Evan Neal
can't
play.
Not a word is being talked about, Shane. This is crazy.
I've talked about how awful it is. I've talked about the third round pick and Hyatt not being able to
get him. Punt return.
Again,
that's not Daniel Jones, by the way. There's three games for you.
You got to let me talk, Brett, because I'm trying to have a conversation with you. I'm in the middle of explaining how I disagree that I haven't gotten on Shane. I've been talking about how Hyatt's not can't get on the field. I've been talking about how Neal can't get on the field. I've been talking about how Azudu is a draft pick who is a failure. I think those are all fair conversations. But where you're not being fair is look at that last interception and tell me how in the world that's acceptable.
It was a bad throw. I watched the whole game.
I watched the whole game. I fast forwarded.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, I did.
I thought about you.
Yeah.
You didn't think he played good?
No.
I said, oh, Chris can't say he didn't play good. He scored a touchdown. He took it off.
No, Daniel Jones
and,
stunk.
Daniel Jones stunk.
Yes, he stunk.
Oh, he threw for like 260-something yards.
If you watch that game and you think Daniel Jones is a franchise quarterback, we disagree. He's not. Daniel Jones is not a franchise quarterback, and it needs to stop. It needs to stop today. Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Hi, Chris.
Hi, how
morning.
Are you?
Good. I want to apologize for mispronouncing your name a month back. It was intentional. I was really angry about something going on in my life. So anyway.
You took it out on me and the pronunciation of my name?
You deserved it, Chris.
All right.
I'm sure I did. The top three hitters in the Dodger lineup,
yes.
Did they get a long break this year? I don't think so. It's possible that the break that Stanton and Rizzo had, whether legitimate or not, is the difference in the series.
The break that they had?
Well, yeah, for injuries, Stanton and Rizzo.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess that's possible. But Rizzo isn't on the same level, at least not right now, as those three. Stanton is, with the way he's hitting home runs, but... And right now, again, like if you look at the big three, it's really Freeman. And just the only thing is that Ohtani's been almost just as bad as Judge. He's got two hits in the series. That's it. And Betts has been better than Judge, but not better than Stanton. I guess in this series, maybe. Stanton's got the one home run. Other than that, hasn't done too much. But I think the big three's kind of been a wash. Oh, actually, I shouldn't say that. It's been a clear advantage because Freeman's going nuts. Sal, we'll talk to you tomorrow, buddy. You there?
Yeah, Chris. Tonight's the night, kid.
Tonight's the night, buddy. I'm sorry I left you with no time. I apologize, Sal. Give me a call tomorrow. Tonight is the night. Gerrit Cole on the mound for the New York Yankees, looking to send this thing back to L.A. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know what happens after that, but I will feel so much better and different about this team if I can see a Game 6. And we'll see what happens there. Then it becomes real, and this team got off the deck. And this team showed me something. Last night was great. It's not enough. Need tonight. That's not even enough. But I'll feel better. And that's really all that matters. Everybody, thank you. I'll see you later. Bye-bye. Warm-up show's next. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFN.